May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Well, welcome to New Year's Eve in the church. Next week, the church year begins anew with the first Sunday of Advent. So the calendar ends today with Christ the King Sunday. I won't make you stay up till midnight. Today, we focus on the royalty of Jesus. So it might seem strange that the scripture reading I've selected from the lectionary options for today actually comes to us from the Old Testament. You won't find Jesus there, after all. God calls the prophet Ezekiel during the exile of God's people to Babylon. He is among the first waves of exile taken to Babylon and prophesies in advance of the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. So things are bad, but they're also going to get worse. We enter the text today at a very comforting point where God is reassuring the people that one day God will be their shepherd. It's a lovely passage, and we'll return to it here in a bit. But the lectionary conveniently omits the lead-up, which we need to walk back and take a look at, so that we can understand more fully God's compassionate words of hope. These tender words from God come on the heels of a scathing rebuke for the shepherds who should have been caring for the people. Now, shepherds, as we know, tend to sheep, not people. So we might wonder why God is talking about sheep and shepherds at all. Okay, if I said all fall long, Sunday afternoons at my house are dedicated to pigskin, unless you knew I lived on a farm or had particular interest in veterinary medicine, you'd know I was talking about football, right? Because in our day, pigskin is an accepted metaphor for the game of American football. Well, in the ancient world, shepherd was an accepted metaphor for king. If you were talking about an actual shepherd, you would be talking about sheep and other things related to a shepherd. But if you were using it as a metaphor, you might be talking about some other things, which is what God does here. Since God is not talking about literal sheep here, we can understand that God's criticism here is for the kings of Israel. Now, poetry, like the 23rd Psalm, tempts us to sort of romanticize the work of a shepherd. We may think of a peaceful pastoral scene where the shepherd are tenderly cared for. But there is more to being a shepherd than gentle nurturing. And if you'll recall, the psalmist in that 23rd Psalm remarks, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, the psalmist, as sheep, is comforted in part because the shepherd has the appropriate tools or weapons to defend an otherwise vulnerable flock. It is the job of the shepherd not only to feed, water, heal, and tend to the sheep. The shepherd must also stand between the sheep and danger, ready with staff and rod to defend the weaker flock. And this is likewise the job of a king. He is to make sure the flock is fed, clothed, and their illnesses and injuries are tended to, that those on the margins are safe. But also, like a true shepherd, the king is to stand between the people and that which threatens them. Israel's kings have not done that. In fact, it's even worse than that. The kings have not only failed to protect their flock from outside danger, they themselves have been a threat to their own people, to the flock that was entrusted to them. So let's back up a minute and listen here to the beginning of Exodus 34. The word of the Lord came to me, "Mortal, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, you shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatted calves, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays. You have not sought the lost. But with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, because my sheep have become prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild animals, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, I am against the shepherds, and I will hold them accountable for my sheep and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths so that they may not be food for them. God is against his own kings, the kings of his own people. So much so that God is now going to take matters into God's own hands. God will be the one to step in and fill the role the earthly shepherds have failed to. It's against this backdrop that God speaks the words Tricia read for us this morning, words of comfort and hope. And did you notice while she read the number of things that God committed to doing for the people? And how God's actions contrasted with the failures of the shepherds that I just read? Listen for all the verbs. Whereas the shepherds looked out only for themselves, God as shepherd will search and sort and rescue and bring the sheep out from where they've been scattered, gather them, and bring them into their own land. God as shepherd will feed them and will make them lie down to rest and seek and bring back the strays and bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. You know the old saying, if you want something done right, do it yourself. Well, that's what God says here. The shepherds aren't doing as they should, so from now on, I'll be the shepherd. I'll be the king. And I'll get it right. God passes judgment on the shepherds, but notice also God passes judgment on the flock itself. He says, I will judge between sheep and sheep. While the shepherds are certainly responsible for the general welfare of the flock, within the flock, there has also been unjust treatment. Some have eaten well, but then trampled the rest of the pasture, depriving others enough to eat. Those same well-fed sheep also had enough to drink, and then muddied the drinking water for others. And what is more, they have pushed and shoved to intimidate and scatter the weaker members of the flock. But when God steps in as shepherd, God will also resolve these intra-flock conflicts. But there's more. If we take a look at the conclusion to our passage once again, God says, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. Okay, so now, instead of God as shepherd, we learn that God will appoint as shepherd God's servant David. But there's a problem here. David's been dead for centuries. It makes no sense. Except, as our confirmands know, God made a covenant with David, and that covenant established David's throne forever. So when God speaks here of appointing David as shepherd over the people, he's not meaning literally David, he's long gone. He is reminding them of this old covenant. And this reminder was especially important because soon Jerusalem would be destroyed. Israel's king, the king of Judah, would be taken into exile. And the monarchy would cease to exist altogether. And at that moment, they really might wonder, what ever happened to that everlasting covenant with David's line? Well, God's message here is one of hope. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. The current devastating events of their time are only an interruption of Davidic rule, not the end of it. A descendant of David will again one day be set up as the one shepherd of God's people. As Christians, we believe that servant, that prince yet to come, came to us in Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was the descendant of David who was set as shepherd over God's people. Listen to these verses from Luke that we'll read quite a bit in the next month or so and see if they ring a bell for you. When Gabriel appeared to Mary, he said these words, speaking about the baby that she had was to conceive. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. And later, when Luke tells us that Caesar Augustus had ordered the census, he says, Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. Are those verses familiar? Have you heard them before? And did you hear what they had in common? This detail that Jesus descends from David's line. This was an important detail because it points to Jesus as the awaited one who would properly shepherd God's people. So no, Jesus wasn't in our scripture reading for today, even though today is Christ the King Sunday. But our passage anticipates that one will come from David to shepherd God's people, to take care of God's people the way God wanted them cared for. And today we celebrate that Jesus is that one. Jesus is the one who seeks out the lost and the hurting and tenderly nurtures them back into the fold. Jesus is the one who demands that there be food and clean water for the weak and strong alike. Jesus is the one who puts himself between the flock and what threatens them. Jesus is what royalty looks like in God's kingdom. As we wrap up the church year and prepare to kick off a new one with Advent next week, we are mindful that there are still sheep who are battered and broken and isolated from the safety of our shepherd's care. And we give thanks that even today, Jesus seeks out those who have been pushed out or carried off or who've gone astray. And as we celebrate the coming of the Christ child this Advent season, may we also remember that he is the promise fulfilled, the promise given long ago, that one would come to properly shepherd God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen.